So welcome to the May 14th regular LSB KPFT meeting by Zoom conference. It's 7:02 right now. So this meeting is called to order. We'll do a roll call and see who we have and who shows up in the meantime. Madam Secretary, could you do that for us?
Okay. Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I am having a little problem because I'd like you to possibly, if you can, can't alter. I'd like to take my minutes from it. And the one you sent me, the updated agenda, is in a PDF format. Can you send it to me not in a PDF format so I can take the minutes from that?
I can, yes.
While I do roll call, okay? Okay, here we go with the roll call. Melissa Bowie? Not hearing Melissa. Pardon me? Okay, Lillian Kerr?
Present.
Thank you, Lillian. Adriana Casanade?
Present.
Thank you, Adriana. Rajat Chopra? Not hearing Rajat. Glenn Etienne? Not hearing Glenn. Lyndon Foley? Lyndon Foley?
He's connecting the volume. He's connecting.
Okay. I'll come back to him. Jerry Fowler?
Present.
Yay, Jerry. Rhonda Garner? Not
I'm
hearing
here.
Rhonda. Thank you, Rhonda.
Robert Gartner?
Not hearing Robert Gartner. Rob Lee? Rob Lee? I'm not hearing Rob. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Thank you, Mike. PK McCary?
Here.
Thank you. Anita Long? Anita?
I am here.
Thank you very much. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Thank you. Sean Kelly McPherson?
In fact, I am.
Welcome. Tori Mercer?
Here.
Thank you very much. Stuart Nance?
I'm here.
Thank you, Stuart. Rick Norris?
Hi, everybody. I'm here.
Hi, Rick Norris. Good to see you. Jane Chidler?
Here.
Thank you very much. Debbie Smith is excused. Ron Stewart?
I am here.
Thank you very much. Michael Woodson is excused. Colby Wright?
Here.
Welcome, Kobe. Susan Young?
Here.
Thank you. Sandy Lorraine?
I think Sandy will be later.
He has okay. A conflict and he'll be here. Yeah, probably okay. After the public comment.
Going back to those people that did not respond, Melissa Bowie? Not hearing Melissa. Rajat Chopra? Not hearing Rajat. Glenn Etienne? Not hearing Glenn. And I see Lyndon Foley, but you're muted.
Hello.
Thank you. And Robert Gartner. Not hearing Robert. Rob Lee?
Present.
Thank you, Rob. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have reached quorum.
Excellent. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda then would be
Adriana.
This agenda. Sorry.
Yeah, but I don't know when it's time to ask for excuse absences.
Oh,
we have.
Do we want to approve the excuse absences? I think that's what you're saying, Adriana?
Yes, Michael Woodson and Dave Smith, but you say that they are only the only one that requests an excuse absence?
Yes.
That is correct.
Mr. Chair,
anyone have an objection to excused absences for Debbie Smith and Michael Woodson? Not hearing any objections, we will approve those as excused. Those are the ones that I have in. Next item then is agenda approval. So for the agenda, I will note you should have received this a few days ago. It's also on KPFTX. There are a couple of notes on the top. One is that public comment comes at a fixed time, that being 8 o'clock. Agenda items in order may be pulled before or pushed to after the public comment period of 30 minutes as required. Public comment is at 8 and adjournment by 10. Those are our hopefully fixed times. Other times are estimates. That is, the times that are on the side of your agenda are estimates. Note two is that the roll call for the executive session will include KPFD LSB members who have executed non-disclosure agreements this year or that we have in hand. And, Rajat, I've got yours, so that came in. So item one would be the call to order, which occurred at 7:02. Item two is a roll call, determination of quorum. Item three is agenda approval. Item four would be approval of minutes for the March 12th meeting, which there was a question about the minutes. And so I believe that has been distributed. So if there are any questions about that, we can talk about that. Item five then would be approval of minutes for the April 9th, 2025 meeting. Item six is staff recognition. Note that's been pulled forward a little bit. Seven is anti-bullying training that we have a guest speaker to do. Thank you very much. Item eight is the PNB director's report. Item nine being the KPFD LSB committee and task force reports. We have slated three reports, development and outreach, governance committee, and the committee of inclusion. Item 10 is 8 o'clock public comment period for 30 minutes. Item 11, the interim general manager's report. The general manager has a conflict, and so we've moved his report to after public comment. Item 12 is unfinished business. Item 13 then would be new business. Item 14 is to confirm the date of the next LSB meeting, that being June 11th, 2025. And we would adjourn from the open session. Item 16 is a call to order of the executive session, which is to get an update on the GM search. Item 17 is a roll call for the executive session. And item 18, discussion and determination of what should be read out from that meeting. And then 19 is we adjourn from the executive session, hopefully by prior to 10 o'clock.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to call something to your attention. In the executive session, we call the meeting to order. We do a roll call. Then we do our business. Then we read out, and then we adjourn. So we actually, I don't want to go into too much detail because it is executive session, but I think there's that 18 should be our body of work, and then 19 should be the create the readout, and then 20 should be adjourned.
I move approval of the agenda with the amendment offered by Teresa.
Second.
All right. I wonder if there's a second.
Second.
There was a second. So then item 19 is determine the readout from the meeting. I'm going to read out. And then item 20 then would be to adjourn from the executive session. So those would be two separate items.
I have a question.
Right. Do we?
Is there any objection to?
Adriana, have a question.
Yes, Adriana.
Did anybody send an agenda for the executive session, or is just a surprise?
There is no agenda for the executive session. It's just an update from the GM search. It's my understanding.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, just that single item. All right.
The agenda is call to order, roll call, and MS, an update of the search, termination of the reporting, and then adjourn. That's the agenda.
That, did you send it? Because I didn't receive that one that you just said.
Mr. Chair.
This is just being discussed right now. So this.
Mr. Chair, it's a part of what you set out.
Yes. It's right there.
Send it out.
It's. Yeah. So the executive session information is in the agenda that was sent out. And the only thing that we've really done is split the two sections in two. So the discussion item should be the same. I'll note that Glenn is here. Glenn, if you'd like to say hello.
I am here, and Ron, the paperwork is in your inbox.
Okay. Thank you kindly. So are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Hearing no objections, then we will proceed with that agenda. The next item is approval of minutes from the March... from the March 12th meeting. Those were sent out on April 30th. Do we have any objections to approval of those minutes?
I have a question.
Oh.
Adriana?
Yes, Adriana?
In one of the meetings, when I wasn't present, obviously I want to abstain on that one, I wasn't present. The other one is the April one. And if I don't mistake, we ask for a roll call. And when we ask for the roll call and the roll call is approved, the votes are supposed to be in the minutes, the name of the people that vote yes or no. And I don't see it there. That is my question. Sorry.
Not if it fails, actually.
I'm sorry.
No. Not if it fails. So I'll ask you, is there any objection to approval of the March 12th minutes?
Yes, like I said, I want that being modified and the names being there. Because
right.
We vote and we approve the roll call. It means that need to be put on the agenda. Thank you.
Point of order,
I'm sorry,
Mr. Chair. Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Is Adriana making a motion to amend the minutes?
It's exactly what I'm saying.
So is there a second?
Do we have a second? Not hearing a second, then the motion fails. Are there other objections? Any other objections to approval of the March 12th meeting minutes?
No objection.
What? Sorry, Mike?
No objection.
No objection. Thank you. All right.
I want to put my objection in those. I want to put like a note in that vote. Thank you.
Note that Adriana is objecting to approval of to item 4. Item 5, then, is approval of the minutes for the April 9th meeting. That was the last meeting. Do we have any objections to anything in the April 9th meeting?
That is the one that I was referring to, sir, because I said
not the one that we were discussing. March 12th meeting.
When you gave me the floor, I said the March. I wasn't there, and I want to be noted like abstention because I wasn't there. And
point of order. If you're discussing April meeting.
I'm not discussing anything.
Point of order.
We're discussing right now.
The March
April
12th 9th meeting. It is inappropriate to discuss the April 12th April minutes.
March minutes.
Sorry, what is your point of order? Because the chair gave me the floor.
You objected to the April 12th minutes while we were discussing the March minutes. Must you object to everything that happens?
Sir, please, please, please conserve the decorum too. I have the right to express what I want
question
to say.
Is, and if the chair Adriana, do you have a particular objection? Do you have a particular objection to something in the April meeting minutes?
Exactly, sir. And I express it exactly like that.
All right. So are you moving to amend them?
Yes, that was the move to amend.
Susan, you're recognized.
I'm asking to be recognized. So I believe that we got these things flip-flopped. If I'm not mistaken, Adriana wants to be shown as abstaining from the March minutes because she wasn't at the meeting, and she wants to be shown as objecting to the April minutes we already voted down. Her motion to amend failed for lack of a second.
Well, we can note your objection. Adriana, was that acceptable for those 2 minutes? All right. Hearing no objection to that, Madam Secretary, if we could note abstention on the one and objection to the other, I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Item six then is staff recognition. Do we have anybody that would like to contribute some staff recognition? A hand up. I see Susan first.
Why doesn't Rob go first? I've been talking
all right.
A lot.
Okay. All right.
I'm very interested in fundraising, and I just wanted to point out to everyone that was reading the minutes from our acting GM that there's a list of quite a number of fundraising events. And I just want to congratulate the staff for putting that on. I know it's a team effort. And I would like to, at some point, I like to look back and say, okay, here's where we are now. Obviously, we had COVID in between. But I would like a little bit of perspective on, where were we before COVID? Again, my perspective is that, boy, staff is kicking tail right now, and I think we're doing well, and that proves it. But I would really like, whether it's the GM or somebody else, to let us know really where we were before to put it in perspective to see if my kudos are valid. So with that, kudos. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Susan, I think that you were next.
Okay. Well, I want to compliment all the people who put on the event in Mandel Park. And of course that is Teresa and Tori, but there were a number of staff people, of programmers who came. And I know that's above and beyond the call of duty because they are all volunteers. And so I'm delighted that they showed up. I'm delighted that the LSB reached out to them and that there was this really great collaboration. So thank you very much and kudos too.
Thank you. On behalf of staff, but Lillian, you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. I wanted to thank the Jack who does the morning shows, traffic and weather, and Rico, who's also a sound engineer, and we've been training some new people, and they've been coming in and doing a great job. So it's really appreciate their hard work and getting the morning show going smoothly. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Okay, do we have anybody else who's interested in staff recognition? If not, then let's see. Our next item of business is our anti-bullying training. I think for an introduction, Susan, do you want to do that? You have the best knowledge.
Absolutely. I've been through already some wars with Anya, who is wonderful, although she gave us all a very soft landing. Anya Lovest and she will give a little explanation about her name, has been engaged by Pacifica. She knows, I think, our executive director, Stephanie, going back a ways, and provides a variety of support services, primarily in the HR realm. So mediation and consultation and so forth. Initiation of new bylaws, we thought that one of the things that we wanted to focus on was changing culture, moving away from what has been very toxic, combative meetings, and we wanted training for this. Anya is a DEI trainer, an anti-bullying trainer. So let me just point out that PK McCary is a professional in that realm as well. She's on the call today. So we had Anya came and joined us for a half-hour training from the national board, and we decided that that was so helpful to us that it would be very useful to the LSBs that wish to have that same kind of training. Anya is seeing us tonight and WPFW later, and she is going to be seeing KPFA and KPFK over the weekend. So, Anya, thank you very much, and I give a couple of words about who you say you are, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys receiving me this evening. Thank you so much again. And my name is pronounced Anya, even though it doesn't look like that. It's a little long story, but I won't go into that for the sake of time, but it is spelled correctly, A-U-A-J-A, and it does sound like it has an N in it, so it's pronounced Anya. With that being said, information I'm going to share with you tonight, some of you know, and if just, spare me and, we go along with it and maybe offer some insight as well. For those of you who are not familiar with the topic matter, the information I'm going to share, just add it to your knowledge base as well. So this is just really informational. This is not to imply everyone that's on this meeting and in the other meetings that are coming up and the meetings that I've had are doing anything like this. It's just, again, for the sake of the organizations. There's been some unfortunate lawsuits that have been filed. And a lot of this goes back to how we're treating one another, how we're communicating and things like that. We get spirited when we feel passionate about some things, and it's apparent based on that spiritness that a lot of people that are volunteering and working for Pacifica is very excited and have a heart for the information and the organization as a whole. So, however, we need to all come together and be able to communicate more effectively. And this is should be a selfless platform where we're all willing to hear one another out and agree to disagree if that's what it comes to. So with that being said, I was asked to do a training on anti-bullying and defamation. And so this is more informational. I have a scenario or two that I'll bring up and see if anybody's interested in engaging with that. I'm more than happy to answer any question that you have. If I don't have the answer, I will do everything I can to obtain an answer for you at a different date. I'll leave my, or Ms. Susan has my contact information. And so for the sake of time, I'm just going to just go through the short presentation. And in that, if you have any questions, just write them down or keep them in your head, and you're more than welcome to ask me once I get through these the presentation. And again, it's very brief. So Mr. Ron, am I able to have access to share so I can share my screen?
Otis, that's a question for you, I guess. There you go. There you go.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so a couple of things we're going to be talking about. Oh, well, I forgot to do this. My organization is called Your Peace, Balance, and Harmony, Your PBH, and we provide HR services and mediation services for organizations across the United States. And I also do, my counselors and I also do drug and alcohol counseling along with mental health services. So outside of business, we also manage or help people in the private sector as well. So I put up here, and again, I can send this out or send this to Susan and she can distribute it to you guys if you like that. But I just thought I would put some information on here. California stance on anti-bullying. Those very words are not in those particular categories that I have listed here. And I stated California because the organization is based out of California, even though it's nationwide. So a little information about bullying in the workplace. I know usually we think of bullying when it comes to kids, teenagers, online, and things like that. But unfortunately, there is a great deal of bullying going on at work, in our workplaces, be it we're physically there or online like what we're doing now. But there's quite a bit of bullying. Bullying, for the most part, is somewhat of a new term in a sense of the past probably 30, 40 years maybe. But so people that were born prior to that just behaved a certain way because that was the culture. But as time progressed, it came into being recognized as bullying. And so what has happened is people are used and familiar to behaving the way they would behave prior to bullying become known more frequently. And so they have a hard time not saying things and doing things that are inappropriate. And they actually don't see it as being a bully. Some of the verbiage I've heard is, well, that's just who I am. And that very well may be true. But in the workplace, there's a way to conduct yourself. And which segues to this, in the workplace. So Ms. Susan, Stephanie, and a couple other board members are in a process of putting together and or updating the policies that not just the national board, but each I would call branch, if I may, each station should have an updated employee handbook on which includes volunteers on anti-bullying and defamation and things like that. So everyone can know where the organization stands when it comes to things like this and hence why they're having this training here. So types of bullying. Again, it'll be, you know, verbal, physical, emotional, psychological, and of course, cyber. Another thing that I was asked to put in here is a lot of people are saying, well, what they have to say is freedom of speech, which is not necessarily untrue. However, when you dissect freedom of speech, when it crosses the line of libel, slander, defamation, words that are inciting and obscenity, it's no longer freedom of speech. We do not have the right to say what we want to say to intentionally offend someone or cross these lines right here. And people have done that. And again, in the sense of freedom of speech. So before we choose to say, well, it's my right, freedom of speech to say what I want to say, please be cautious about that. Look up specifically in great detail what freedom of speech means and where that line is crossed, because not only can an individual sue you for that, but the individual can sue the organization. And suing the organization is not our goal. It's not our aim. We are putting the organization in a weak position to continue to be sued, lose money, lose volunteers, and lose listeners. And based on what I understand, all of our objective is to have the radio stations to continue spread the news and information that you want, continuing to put it in a precarious situation with bullying one another or bullying people is not putting the organization in a good stance and making it strong. verbal bullying, again, is anything you're saying verbally. Now, I'm going to switch over to our defamation slide because verbal, that falls into the category of libel. So defamation has two different categories. Defamation has libel, which is verbal, and it has slander, which is written. Let me make sure I did that right. Yes, libel is written. So if you write something, be it in our chat, you can write it here in the chat. You can text somebody. You can email somebody. You could write it on a document, a little note you're passing, a piece of paper you're passing around the office. It doesn't matter if it's written. So if it's published, that's considered libel. And it's proof that you have committed, quote unquote, a crime. And so that falls up in the definition of defamation. The other one is slander, which is verbal. So you can be on this call, you could, or in this meeting, you can be on the phone call. You could be standing in the office. You can be standing anywhere. But if you're verbally talking to someone and you start saying things that are on the line of defaming somebody's character, their personality, their body, their person, it's considered slander. And if that person can provide proof that you've damaged them or their life has been damaged or affected by what you've said, written, that is again grounds for a lawsuit. And again, they won't just sue you, but they will sue organization. We don't want anybody sued. We sure don't want the organization sued, because if the organization continues to lose money because of these lawsuits in respect of defending the organization, then again, putting the organization in a position to become weaker because the funds are becoming lower and lower. And at some point, the organization will not be able to handle all of that. So this is just a reminder to get you to understand that, yes, you have freedom of speech. You have the right to say what you want to say. But when it borders on being slanderous and libel, you're putting the organization at a point of weakness. And that's not what we want to do. Okay, physical. We all know what that is. Putting your hands on somebody. You don't even have to hit them. Just putting your hands on somebody. Getting up in somebody's face and part of your body is touching their body. Tripping them or, you know, pushing them. Putting your hand on their back. That's what we don't want to do. People interpret things differently. So, again, back in the old days, people would touch one another, push one another, and they would just ignore it or go about their way. But no, that's not what's going on now. That's not what we're supposed to do. Less and less of this is happening, and particularly because a lot of people or organizations are doing meetings and they go to phone. It's rare that people meet in person, but people do. But less of this is going on nowadays. It's more verbal and more written. Okay. Not that none of everything I said is not important, but this is where, more unfortunate things started happening, emotional and societal bullying. So, you know, you may have heard that, you know, when somebody gets hit, you know, that hit or that pain will physically go away. But when somebody verbally shares something with you or tell you something, those words hit harder, the physical thing. And it sometimes cause more damage when you are verbally assaulting someone. It affects them psychologically. When we come onto these board meetings or any meeting for that matter, we don't know what people's lives are like after, before and after camera is off. We don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know what their lives are like. And when you come into a platform, and particularly if you're volunteering, the words that we say could affect someone greatly and can end up harming themselves or even harming their families or harming someone. So no, we're not responsible for people's actions like that, but we are responsible for the words that come out of our mouth that could affect people. Again, going into psychological, people get depressed. They have panic attacks. They have anxiety attacks. Again, stress shows up in many different ways for many different people. Your hair can fall out. You can have bubble guts. You can have very bad backache. You can have blackouts. You can have all sorts of things and you have no idea what that is. And so when you find yourself having anxiety of logging on to these meetings or going to meetings and or talking to people or having to contact somebody even via email or text, be noticeable of how your body is responding to that. And this is not something that you and no one else have to put up with. Contact somebody. It should be a higher up. But if your higher up is doing something, then you have to find a way to contact somebody, even if it's your attorney or your doctor. But contact somebody that you can confide in confidence that these are the things that are going on. Because the organization that you volunteer for, that you work for, is 100% responsible for not allowing these things to go on. But if you don't share that these things are going on, then the organization you know, have no grounds. They don't have any proof of, to do anything for you. So please don't do this in silence. And even if you directly are not a victim, if you know someone else is being victimized, again, please share that with someone in confidence. Because again, if the organization or the persons that are the decision makers don't understand that this is going on, then there's nothing that they can do. They might have no idea that this is going on. So we, again, are in the process of creating and or updating the books, and even the bylaws are updated to reflect this type of information so you can have somewhere to go to. If you find yourself being a bully, I said, you welcome to contact me so I can help you, or contact anybody. It doesn't have to be me. But if you recognize that you fit in some of these descriptions, that you're bullying someone, be it here on this platform or be it in your personal life, my suggestion is for you to get yourself some help, because there's some deeper things that are going on if you find yourself being a bully. Recognize the signs. And so we have a scenario here where I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. And if anybody wants to chime in and answer it, you're welcome to do that. I'm open to it. If not, I'll go ahead and move on and give you the answer to that. But we have Alex, and this right here, I want you, if you can, tell me what type of bullying this is or what category it falls into, if you can. So Alex and Casey have worked together for years and have teamed together for several projects. Recently, Casey often forgets reports that he and Alex are to do together, and Casey blames Alex for being forgetful. When Alex confronts Casey, Casey laughs it off and says Alex is too dramatic. Take a minute and read that yourself, and then if anybody has an answer as to what category that falls in, please share. And I'll give you just a couple of minutes. And
gaslighting.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, PK. It is gaslighting. Is there anyone on the platform that does not know what gaslighting is? Everyone knows what gaslighting is. That, because that's good. That's,
well, maybe not.
Why don't you explain it?
Why don't you go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead and explain it, because not everybody understands it, but it's been used a lot. All you have to do is listen to pundits on news shows. Gaslighting
yes.
Is gaslighting 101.
Yes.
A new PK and Anya would be on the same, would find sisterhood tonight.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So gaslighting is when, you know, and how I would normally say it is, somebody's trying to make you think you're crazy. That's how I look at it. But what it is that someone is sharing with you, is blaming you for something that is their responsibility, and they're trying to turn it around on you and make it look like it's your fault. That's what it is. And this is, even though gaslighting is not a new term, but the way it's being used is very, very common right now. And if you're not careful, people will do this to you, and you will second guess what you're doing and how you're doing it. And then you start feeling some kind of way. And people have become experts at doing this because they don't want to take the blame or the fault of it being their responsibility. So they're turning it around on you. So if you're experiencing this, be it in your personal life, be it at work, be it anywhere you're volunteering, again, recognize it. And dare I say, have the courage to stand up to the individual or individuals that are doing this to you, because this is not emotionally and mentally healthy to receive this type of behavior or treatment. Okay, so let's see.
Can I ask just one question?
Okay, I'm pretty much finished, so go ahead.
And well, just the question is that sometimes other people don't see it, and if they don't see it, that's when things are exasperated, and we don't see it because of our own unknown biases. You know, we don't mean to be, but we do. And I was wondering if you could give us some ways in which to address this, because if people don't believe you, or they don't understand, or they end up believing that somehow you're being too sensitive. I think we need to learn how we talk to one another.
Yes, I can give some short examples. And one of the training, because of this, these questions came up in the last training. I think the next training I'm going to suggest is, communication styles and how to appropriately communicate with one another in a professional platform. But for the sake of, you know, answering your question, my suggestion is we're all mature adults. Okay. First of all, we're not crazy. We're sound. And when somebody is sharing with you that you're being sensitive, this is not to imply that they're a narcissist, but that's narcissistic behavior, because what they're trying to do is discredit your feelings of how you feel about something. They're implying that you should feel the way they do about it. And we're all different. We all have different perspectives. We all have different experiences. So when you are encountering a person that is demeaning or discrediting how you feel or the way you think, that is a red flag of they're trying to gaslight you. They're trying, and if you don't want to use the word gaslight, they're disrespecting you. That's what I would call it. And all of us know what disrespect is. So all of us are entitled to how we feel about something. All of us are entitled to that. So when you cross somebody's path and they're telling you you're being too sensitive, that is a telltale sign. My suggestion is to tell them I'm entitled to how I feel. You are not to tell me how to feel. These are my feelings. These are my emotions. Right.
I'm not sure how you're handling questions, but
yeah, I just want to answer her. So I see Miss Tori.
Go ahead. I can just add real quick.
Mr. Tori.
I'm a film student and, you know, from way back. And, I think this term gaslighting comes from a 1944 film called Gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
Bergman.
I think it's that.
It's like case by case by case scenario. Throughout this film, this evil husband's driving this woman crazy by gaslighting her. And anyway, I recommend it. It's a good film.
I think it's an Alfred Hitchcock movie. I'd be mistaken, but yes, thank you for that, Mr. Mercer.
I had a link to it in the.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay.
George Cougar.
Adriana, thank you. Adriana, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, that's okay. Fine. Thank you. Ms. Lovest, I have a question because, you were present in the first part of this meeting and you heard the chair giving me the floor and an LSB member said, Adriana, must you object to everything?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. You know what people, what I believe that sometimes people are so feel so entitled to say things that they believe that they can interrupt somebody that was given the floor to talk. It's part of the respect, right? If the chair is giving you the floor to talk, you have the right to express your feeling without somebody can disagree with you, but they don't have the right to jump in there and put intentions or say what is your, you know, what you are trying to do. And I think that will be very interesting that this board understand that part. Being in a minority doesn't mean that they can step, over you all over. They can vote against you. That's why we have, you know, democracy. That's why. But it's very interesting because you just present and wasn't the words that I received, but you were just a witness what already happened a few minutes ago. And, you know, that is part of what I worry, because people talk the talk but don't walk the walk, right? Thank you.
Right. But, yes, thank you, Ms. Adriana. So, yes, and I was going to, and Ms. Mariana, I'm going to get right to you after this, what I share. So, yes, I was going to bring that up, and that was an unfair comment about must you, because it can be. I'm looked at as being disrespectful because everyone on here is entitled, as long as it's within your bylaws and the Roberts rules that you follow, to object to have the floor to object to anything. It is the board or the president of this particular group or the lead. I'm not sure what you guys are called, but to check that person that if they're out of line with the bylaws and or the Roberts rules. And so what happens is when we make comments about like what happened to her, it can shame her and it can make her, and it didn't, thank God, because Adriana appears to be a strong person. She still persisted, but commenting on what somebody can or cannot do or what they must or must not do is just not a fair thing to say in a meeting. It could be a sidebar. It could be brought up to the person that's the decision maker or is running the meeting. But to add commentary to a process that's unnecessary, it's not going to move the process further. If anything, it has set the process back. It's not fair. But again, people are doing things that they've been comfortable doing. They haven't been checked on doing it. And so I'm not blaming anybody for this. This is why the board has chose to have these type of trainings and informative meetings, is because a lot of people have old behavior that they did not recognize or realize was inappropriate, and it's been accepted in the past. So what we're trying to do is move the organization forward without so much negative commentary, if I may. So Ms. Mary Martinez, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Anya. Yeah, I was going to comment along the same lines as what Tori said, that the term gaslighting comes from that movie, and that movie is based upon, it's based like at the turn of the century when they had gas lights. And in the movie, what they're doing is the husband is trying to make the wife think that she's going crazy. So he starts manipulating the lights. And, he's saying that, you know, she's not thinking right. And he's making her question or doubt her own, reality, right?
Yeah.
And so when a person gaslights you, they're making you think that you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're hallucinating.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking wrong, or maybe you're senile, or maybe you got dementia, you know, because people do that. And that is basically what gaslighting is.
Yes.
And it does happen at Pacifica.
Yes.
I've experienced it myself.
Yeah. Soap operas are infamous for putting episodes or scenes in there of gaslighting. So again, this is not to get on any one person by any means, or even a group of people. Hence why I mentioned earlier, we have been doing the same thing over and over, and we've never been talked to about it. It's been accepted, and people just go on. Some people don't have the courage to say anything. They just go along with it because they want to, they're non-confrontational, you know. So there's all kind of different scenarios. Again, this is not to throw anybody under the bus or any group or anything like that. But hence why I said be careful and cautious of the things that you say, because what we don't want to do is disrespect one another. We don't want to disrespect the organization. We don't want good people to leave the organization that does have make a good contribution by making them feel less than or embarrassed or ashamed or not entitled to their feelings or their emotions, be it that they're valid or not. The information is factual or not. People are still entitled to how they feel. Do things need to be done decent and in order? Yes, they do. And which leads me to this, and I'm going to wrap up and let you ask any more questions. Susan did a really, really good job tonight with understanding what Adriana wanted and explained it. And all it took, because I actually got confused, as I knew what she wanted, but I was confused about between March and April, and it kept getting boggled because everybody was chiming in. And so the conversation should have been between her and Mr. Ron to clear it up, but it got boggled up, and Susan knew exactly what she wanted. And she did the right thing by raising her hand and explaining it. And it was after Susan explained it that things got back on track, because Adriana, she wasn't being her. Her accent is heavy and was heavy for me, and I was having a hard time keeping up. And so here's Susan's explanation cleared up was best. But when there's a difference there, the person that's in charge, and tonight that's Mr. Ron, he should be the one to engage and clear that up rather than others adding in and confusing the situation even more. It doesn't mean anybody was wrong tonight. It just means what the board is trying to do is help us move forward with more clarity and in that have more respect for one another. And when that happens, things can move along a lot more smoother and nobody is being feel like they're being attacked. Okay. So with that being said, does anybody have any questions on the category that we're talking about? Yes, Ms. PK.
I just want to thank you. I've done this, but I also think that a lot of it is culture. And we have several kind of cultures going on. And what's going on in the rest of the country and the rest of the world is also impacting all of us. And I think that if we could just kind of take what we call the four issues of when somebody says something about anybody, is the first, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And if you still feel you have to say it, be honest with yourself with why you want to say that about an individual. We are all intelligent individuals on this board. We've been around, some of us 20 years, some of us 30 years, some of us going back to the very, very beginning. And it was a culture built on us learning how to work together for the betterment of our society. So I'd like for us to go a little further and look at creating an anti-racist society in Pacifica, which has a lot to do with some of the things that are being said. And what if we can do that, I think that this can work a little better. But it's hard work. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And you're right, it's not just racist, there's some gender stuff going on. There's some implicit and explicit biases going on. There's different demographics on here. And again, all of us, like you said, are intelligent. We all have no choice but to bring our own perspective, our own experience, and our own education. And sometimes that feeds into or overlaps into our work life. And we really are not aware that it does that. So it takes a strong board, strong decision makers, to say, wait a minute, blah, blah, blah. So, and it appears that you guys have that. So again, if you see yourself in these categories doing and saying things that fit the descriptions that I shared, and particularly defamation, which includes libel and slander, those two big, anti-bullying is definitely within Pacifica, and it falls into libel and slander because those are things that are grounds for a lawsuit. You know, sharing with somebody, do you have to complain about, I forgot the words, that's not defamation or libel. It's not grounds for a lawsuit. It falls more in the line of, you know, personal disrespect. But when you fall into libel and slander, that is not good for the organization at all. And you guys are here for the organization. So let's check ourselves, let's be as considerate as we possibly can and take a moment before you say something that may be out of line and question yourself. And you may have to save it for after the meeting or one-on-one or something like that. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for allowing me to come on and share this with you. We'll be doing more training. Again, I believe the next one is probably going to be communication styles and how to appropriately and professionally communicate with one another during these board meetings via Zoom for right now. So Ms. Susan, Mr. Ron, do you guys have any questions for me at all?
I have a quick question, if I may, and that is, I hope that this is, you sort of have said this is the start of this conversation, and I think PK has especially been calling for us to be, make safe spaces for these conversations.
Yes, yes.
I don't know exactly what form those will take, but I hope that you can be a resource for us.
Oh, absolutely.
In doing that work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you guys agreed to have me here, the board, the executive board. So thank you guys for that. Mr. Ron, did you have something you wanted to share?
No, we appreciate that. We're running right up to our public comment time. So I think it's important stuff and it's an important message. And I really appreciate you coming in and speaking to everybody tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much. See you guys next time. If you guys have any subject matters that you guys would like to have as a board, please feel free to contact Ms. Susan and or Stephanie and put those categories in, and I will make sure I come up with some type of training if I already don't have it created, and I'll come on back and share it with you.
All right. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. All right. Peace.
So we're coming up onto our public comment time. We're going to have to put the director's report and the committee discussions after the public comment time. So for public comment, our bylaws call for a 30-minute interval of public comment. This gives the opportunity for the public to address the board, but not for the board to address the public. The rules for the time are that we don't talk about personnel issues. We don't have ad hominem attacks, slander, name calling, that sort of thing. I can give a warning if that happens, and if continued, people could be ejected. Board members are not allowed to comment, speak or respond. This is the time for that. Time for speakers, 5 minutes. And if all the speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak again within our 30-minute time interval. So with that,
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, PK, please. Oh, sorry, you just muted.
I just wanted to say, number one, that I see Robert Gardner is here. And that the other thing is that we may have people who say things that they're concerned about, but you're right about the being careful that it's not defaming or gossip or the thing that I talked about just a second ago. I don't think that we should keep people from saying things that they have concerns about.
All right. Thank you. So, Sheila, you have your hand up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Sheila Hamaka. I'm a member of WBAI from New York City. So thank you very much for allowing me to attend your KPFT LSB meeting. I just wanted to comment, earlier, somebody said that Adrian wanted to hear the roll call vote, and somebody said that roll calls are only recorded if a motion passes, not if it didn't pass. So that didn't sound right to me, because I thought, well, can you imagine the Congress if every time some motion failed, they didn't record the results? So I looked it up quickly, and according to all the sites that I saw, according to parliamentary Robert's Rules of Order, parliamentary procedure, all roll call votes are recorded. That's the purpose of a roll call vote. So Adriana, I think, is entitled to hear those, the results of whatever motions passed or failed in an LSB meeting. And the other thing is, I'm so glad that we had that counselor here, that she was speaking about bullying, because I think there's a kind of bullying that was left out, which is legal bullying. There's a lot of legal, very polite bullying that goes on in this country and has for centuries. And even right now, I would say I, as a member of Pacifica, feel bullied by the passage of bylaws, a totally radical overhaul of bylaws, which I, according to the current bylaws, am entitled to vote on. That is that all members of Pacifica have the right to vote on radical bylaws changes. And somehow there's a sleight of hand where people who have access to the courts are bringing lawsuits this way, that way, that. So they say, oh, well, you know, we're going to save money. We're just going to mediate these things. Well, that's wrong. You can't do that. It would be as if public, as if Trump said, well, I'm going to change the Constitution. And Congress said, no, you can't. And then a judge says, well, we're just going to have somebody else mediate this because the Congress and the president don't agree. So a third party is just going to settle it. Okay. Well, that's wrong. So the Pacifica bylaws that some people are referring to as new bylaws are illegal. There is a hearing that's coming up. Even the settlement itself, which is very questionable, hasn't been settled in court. That comes up on July 3rd. And that July 3rd hasn't happened yet. So even in that questionable circumstance of whether this radical change of bylaws is even legal, that's not right, okay? And some people at WBAI are putting in motions to intervene in the case so that they can be heard, all right? And I know a lot of people on this board agree with New Day Pacifica and have backed them for years. But other people who don't know what's going on, please, I implore you, go to the website pacificafightback.org. And read the article about the palace coup. Okay, I know there's no palace, literally, but it's about illegal, what we're referring to dramatically as a palace coup. All right? It'll explain all the legal issues. It'll explain how these issues have come up time and time again. And the last two referenda were lost. New Day previously had a different name, but they lost both referenda. And in defense of the unpaid staff, okay, somebody in New Day said, oh, WBAI, they're a bunch of cheaters. Who knows if those people on the unpaid staff are actually unpaid staff. Maybe they didn't work for 10 hours a month. Well, anybody who produces knows that you work a hell of a lot more than 10 hours a month to produce a show. It's very disingenuous. This was not brought up before. It was brought up at the last minute. And they're trying to disqualify staff members from my station. And 90 to 95% of all the work in Pacifica is done by unpaid staff. Okay, thanks.
Thanks for 5 minutes. All right, thank you. Do we have other people who would like to speak in public comment? I have some numbers, but, okay. 1438. Nancy, I think that's you. Do you have your hand up? The number ending in 1438, you're recognized.
That's Nancy. Nancy, can
you hear?
That's
Nancy, I think. Nancy, can you hear? Her hand is up. Let's see. If she comes in, then.
It could be muted.
Could be. It doesn't show muted, but, let's see. So if she's not able, we'll get her on when she's able to get on. Are there other people who would like to
Can I speak?
Okay, yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Okay. So as I was saying, the bylaws were never legally passed. Okay. And that issue, you know, Annuity Pacifica says the bylaws are our bylaws, our version of the bylaws passed because the majority of Pacifica members voted for it. Well, that might have been true for the listener members, but people must keep in mind that according to the bylaws, and this was brought up and approved in a Hello? Court case. Oh, is that Nancy?
Hello? Yes. I'm sorry. I knocked myself off the call. Is it my turn to speak?
Yes, I'll stop. Go ahead, Nancy.
All right. Nancy, please.
Go ahead and finish with your thought, whatever you're doing.
Oh, okay. Well, my thought was, I was explaining that, according to the Pacifica bylaws, if a bylaw proposition affects the status or well-being or interests of a certain party in the bylaws, remember there are two bodies in Pacifica. There's the listeners and then there's staff. So the bylaw that they wanted to pass was going to reduce the voting power of unpaid staff members, right? Now, everybody remembers during in the civil rights era, the days of slavery, the expression three-fifths of a man, right? Well, in the proposed bylaws, they were going to reduce the power of an unpaid staff person to one-tenth of a man, one-tenth of a person. The voting power of the unpaid staff person would be one-tenth that of a paid staff person, even though many of those people do just as much work as paid staff people without the pay. Remember, no pay. Okay, so they didn't like that. Who would want to be disenfranchised 90% of their voting power? So they voted against it. That's only common sense. Now,
Sheila, you can finish that thought. You're at the end of your second 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So anyway, keep that in mind. Those New Day bylaws never even passed when they tried it in a referendum. Frankly, they're afraid to try it a third time. So please, once again, go to pacificafightback.org and look for the article on the palace coup. All right. It's a very good article. And remember, on June the 7th, Pacifica Fightback will be having a national town hall, and you're all invited. You can come and listen, right. What's your opinion.
Thank you. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, thank you. 811. Okay. Yes, I want to talk about these changing bylaws with a majority vote by the PMB. This is in violation of the bylaws. It has to be done in a bylaw process that was in the bylaws, which includes the five different LSBs. They have to vote on it. And it includes the membership being alerted of all these changes or proposed changes. That did not happen. None of this happened. And then also it includes the members, the membership, they have rights that were violated by these new Frankenstein bylaws that were passed on April 3rd. And you know what? This station has not done what they were supposed to be done, and only done at the BAI on a regular basis, is a report to the listeners by LSBs taking turns. And hearing PNB reports, hearing a general manager's report. We have very few of those. I think we have two so far this year. And also a report from the COI, the Committee of Inclusion, and the CAB. none of this. We don't have enough connection with our listenership, and this is bad. This bylaws, they just ignored the bylaw amendment process. And then there is some things that needed to be done, not in a majority vote of any LSB, but by a referendum, by the total membership of all the members of all five stations. This was violated. Their right of any changes of tenure, and in this case of staff, what Sheila was talking about, you know, no membership, staff, or listeners should be disenfranchised. They have to be, you know, respected, and their votes should be respected. But what this new Frankenstein bylaws that was passed on April 3rd, you can go to kpfdx.org and you go to PNB, Pacifica National Board, and you scroll down to April 3rd and you will see who voted how and what, you know, what this was not really, it was done in executive session. That's even worse, like behind closed doors. You're not supposed to vote on bylaws in executive session. That, I mean, that's not done. Okay. There's another thing. Changing, you know, we talked about the staff. Does the staff understand that KPFA has the most number of staff of any station and KPFT has the fewest staff? We have one full-time, one part-time, and we have a lot of people. I don't know, the manager of KPFT. He has not made it clear how many are getting a commission of $1 an hour. And then he said two, himself and the board operator, are getting gasoline money. So we don't know what the finance is going on there, but let me keep on track. The staff are outnumbering in power in KPFA and next in KPFK, Los Angeles. He would suffer the most if there was a vote for the staff on the national board. The other thing is the runner-up's right to replace, you know, vacancies has been just thrown away and disenfranchised. You disenfranchise all the people who voted, all the membership's votes, by saying, no, runner-up cannot get on the board, not necessarily, only at the choice of the LSB. Then you come into the realm of self-electing, where you let the majority of the board pick their people to replace vacancies. This is what happened long ago in 2000s. It was a small group of people self-electing themselves. And then the judge said, no, you've got to have elections. You can't just be self-electing. So we're going back to self-electing. Please, everybody on this board, I know you want to help Pacifica and help KPFT exist, but don't just follow these horrible things. You have to stand up for justice and fairness. Another thing is the right of recall. Do you know the membership, staff membership, and listener membership? They have a right, Nancy, of recall.
Right. Before you,
I'm sorry. Okay.
You get to your. To you. Thank you. Okay. We've heard from a couple of people. Do we have other people who would like to speak during public comment? Back. Your hand is still up, or are you wishing?
No, I was going to suggest you could explain to Nancy that she could extend her talk.
She would be the other person who is requesting. So yes, thank you. Nancy, would you like to go ahead?
Yes. Another thing is, there was in November, there was a meeting of the former November PNB. And what they did was they voted to let the ED and the PNB remove a member and their membership rights to vote. Well, I have never heard of such a thing before. Can you imagine? The ED and the PMB can vote out somebody, a member, from their membership right and their right to vote. What's that all about? We want members. Well, what is this? The other thing is that they voted on to mute two directors, I believe, on that meeting. That meeting, I cannot remember the date, but it was in November. I should send a note about this and where to find it. And the bylaws, not the Frankenstein bylaws, but the bylaws clearly says no muting. No muting. And they muted, I believe, Serene Roberts twice and Paul DiRienzo once or twice. I can't remember now. They were put into the Zoom waiting room throughout the rest of the meeting. And they were not even told that they would not be able to get back on to the, you know, in limbo. Either one stayed until midnight hoping to get back on the meeting. And what happened in the meeting, unbeknownst to the ones that were muted, was they took a vote. Well, what are we going to do? And they voted to, keep those two members in the Zoom waiting room for the rest of the meeting. And then one of our members, who was secretary, said, well, how are we going to count their votes, those two that were muted? And then the chair, who's also from our LSB, said, well, and then those two, both from KPFT, decided to put down a vote for those two people. Well, we'll just put down that they voted no. I could not believe what I was hearing. They put down that they voted no when they were out of the meeting. I mean, it can't be crazier. It's like Trump. It's like his cabinet, his administration. It's like Musk. It's like doing whatever you want. This is fascism. If there's any other identification, and you all aboard, you have to take responsibility. Do you want this? Do you really embrace this? I just cannot believe what's going on now. We should be working on putting visual and getting youth in, because youth like to take videos and they want to do them, and putting captions so we'll have a new audience, the deaf, who can read and see. They like captions and they like visual. Just like Amy Goodman, she left radio station BAI. She has a radio show, but she has also video and captions, and she speaks as if she's talking to a blind person, because that's the way radio is. So she doesn't say, now you look over here and but down over here it's something. She doesn't say things like that. She speaks as if she's talking to somebody who's blind. And that's what the beauty of radio. You embrace many people in one of the least expensive media, radio. Television is way, way more expensive, but radio, it's less expensive, and it's a way to get many people driving in their car. Anyway, we get these youth will come. They're not interested in radio, but they are interested in visual. We've got to change quickly. We're so behind. Please think about this, and let's thinking instead of just going after power grabs. And you know, we're so broken down now, Pacifica, that Trump is not going after us first. He's going after NPR and CPB. Maybe he thinks we're going to collapse ourselves.
Nancy, that's your 5 minutes. Robert, you're on the board, so you can't make public comments. Did you had a question or a?
Well, you know, last month.
You're on the board. You're present. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to say something about a motion I made last month. It was, I think, incomplete and misdirected.
What are we talking? in old business.
Okay.
Okay, so we still have 8 minutes left in public comment time. Sheila, Sheila?
Oh, okay, thank you very much. One of the issues I'd like to bring up is, around the question of name calling, a lot of people get very upset around the issue of racism. For example, if I talk about racism in Pacifica, a lot of people think, oh my God, she's calling me a racist. That's defamation of character. That's slander. In this case, I just learned that tonight. That's slander. But I'm not talking about that. I don't think I could find a person in Pacifica who would be using the N-word or any of the thousands of racial or religious epithets that exist in this country. However, if we take a nuts and bolts look at Pacifica, which hopefully the committees of inclusion will be allowed to do if New Day assumes power over Pacifica, these committees of inclusion have to look at the facts. It was done here at KPFD brilliantly by a young man who did something called KPFT whitewash, in which he analyzed not the minds of the members or the staff of KPFT, but the actual airtime and which communities were served by this airtime. Because Pacifica is supposed to be serving the community in all its diversity. And you know, as well as I do, that Houston and many parts of Texas are 40% or more Spanish-speaking, and people of immigrant descent or actual immigrants, many of whom are undocumented. And yet, is there any primetime Spanish-language programming at KPFT? Is there anything anywhere near 40% of programming on KPFT that serves this population that is now under the gun and literally being snatched out of their homes, schools, on streets in a fascistic manner and deported without trial or hearing? Does that exist in KPFT? Ditto for African-American populations in Houston and all over Pacifica stations. Ditto for Asian and Pacific Islander populations. KPFA in the Bay Area is a third Asian Pacific Islander. And yet there's only one show out of all the hours of the week, 24/7, that serves the Asian population. So what's going on here? How is this possible when you have people staffing and running this organization, who, by the way, are majority white, but none of them would ever use the N-word or the J-word or whatever? How is it possible? Why is this going on? And is anybody upset about this? I'm upset about this. This upsets me. It makes me angry, all right? It makes me angry. It makes me frustrated. I'm learning from the counselor. Resentful, disenfranchised, bullied, all those words, to see this going on inside a network where I know the people on the street who are largely people of color, already disenfranchised in every other way in the society, are disenfranchised by this network. And I do not see any of the leadership of New Day fighting for these communities of color and indigenous people. It's not happening. Okay? I'm not criticizing you personally, but KPFT, what's coming out of your dial when people go through and when they're in the car and hiding from the ICE and they're turning their little dial, what are they going to hear on KPFT? Are they going to hear Spanish language people telling them what to do? how to get legal advice, how to get protection, where there are sanctuaries to help them? Or are they going to hear la-di-da country and Western music, which it's beautiful, but is it helping the people who are suffering right now?
Here,
I don't want to.
We've got a 5-minute spot. I don't know that I see any other. Nancy, did you want to get back in, or
your hand is still up? But there is no other person.
So you get 2 minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. On October 20th and 2022, this is a little back, but the PMB voted to extend the 6-year term limit and not replace the absentees with the runner-ups. That violated the runner-ups' rights, and it violated the bylaws. You have an absolute 6 years. You cannot go further. But on the same night, just before that vote, they voted something awful about finance. They said only the GM, the PNB, and the ED, and the business managers had the right, and the treasurers had the right to see financial documents. That list did not include the LSBs and did not include the IGMs. And we have 5 IGMs. We have no GMs at all in the network. We have 5 stations with 5 IGMs. Our IGM cannot even look and see actual financial documents. That's horrible. And the LSBs, it's saying we cannot see it. The LSBs cannot see it. That's terrible. So no local oversight over finance. This is like going back to dictatorship. You know, everything at the PNB, but even the treasurers, I talked to treasurers, they were not getting all the financial documents. So who is seeing the financial documents? Some secret group in the PNB? This is terrible. It's irresponsible to the membership who voted you people on. Fight for it. Fight for transparency in the local. This new Frankenstein bylaws, it takes Nancy? All the power away from the local. It takes away oversight of finance. This is a problem of all nonprofits. Finance is blurry.
Thank you for
Let's
your
not do that.
All right. Oh, okay. Thank you for your input on the public comment time. Appreciate that. So that takes us to the end of public comment. We are behind schedule, but we'll see where we can go. Our next item is the PNB director's report.
Okay, I guess that's timely. There are 3 of us on right now. I think Michael is not able to be with us this evening. And I have a fact sheet that I will be sending out to everyone about the settlement, about the bylaws. I will highlight a couple of points here right now. So the question is the court issue settled? It was signed by all parties through a court-ordered mediation on March 20th, ratified by the National Board on April 8th, and the LA Superior Court judge for the case signed it on April 10th, 2025, making it binding. There are continuing disputes, and those may go before the court, and those may succeed or not. I don't know. And people are free to do that. But now, as provided in these bylaws, Article 3 of the 2025 bylaws states that the transition period for the bylaws begins on the date the court order for a settlement of the case is signed by the judge. That was April 10th. So we're in the transition period. That's one thing. The second thing is a question about whether the PNB acted illegally and so forth. I am the chair of the PNB. I support the settlement. It is not appropriate to say how anyone voted or list votes, but it is clear, it is on the record, that a majority of the Pacifica board members voted to settle. Why did we do that? New Day bylaws were brought forward in 2021 with a referendum. I voted in that referendum, and 6,640 listener members voted for it. 5,216 listener members voted against it. I do not have the numbers for staff, but it's a much smaller number. And the court held that you had to have a majority vote for both the listeners and for the staff. And it was not clear. I mean, the staff vote, as has been brought up, has been challenged because the records were unclear for at least one station about whether the staff vote was legitimate. All of that matter went into court in 2021. Pacifica sued New Day. Pacifica initiated the litigation. And that litigation has been costing money and burning time in 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. When I was first on the board in 2022, our then general counsel talked about how great it would be to have a settlement, that he was in conversation with the parties from New Day, thought we should be able to get a settlement. The conversations about settlement have basically continued all of these years since. What the court did recently was it said, we want you to go to mediation. So we went to mediation. I was a part of the team. And the mediation was, can you agree on using part of the bylaws from 2020 that had been accumulated over time, and part of the bylaws that were voted on with a majority of the members and a disputed vote on the staff, that and take pieces from that. That's what the mediation team did. It brought that settlement into the mediation. The parties agreed, and the court and the board, the national board, voted to support that settlement, and the court signed off on it. At the time that all of this dispute started in 2021, it's a different set of board members than are on today. We didn't go back to the people in 2021 and say, hey, how would you vote today? No. It's the people who are on today who know we've been in court all these years that decided it was best for Pacifica to end the litigation, to get the best from the old, the best from the new, and put them together. And that is what was signed by the court and is now in effect. Maybe challenged successfully, but right now it's in effect. What the transition period means for us is in 2025 and 2026, all 24 members of the local station board who elect to continue to serve stay on. All 22 members of the national board stay on. The local station board is to spend this period of time orienting away from arguments about bylaws and orienting towards raising money, encouraging membership. Sheila, Mr. Chair, I believe that her putting that is essentially like an interruption. what I believe our LSB can do right now is we have a number of committees that are already up and running that are doing good work. And I think that they can continue to do good work in this period from 24, 25, and 26 before an election is held and a board under a new set of rules is elected and is seated in 2027. My suggestions are that the governance committee, rather than focusing on policies and procedures for the LSB, because the LSB is changing what it's doing, what it can do instead is it can review the 2025 bylaws page by page and recommend any additional bylaw amendments which can be taken up this year and next. That's one thing. The second thing is for the Management Selection and Review Committee. We've been in the middle of a GM search, and we started under one set of rules, and we continued under a second set of rules, and now we're in another set of rules. We have an executive session at the end of this meeting at which the executive director, who had the authority to pick the GM before and has the authority to pick the GM now, will give us an update about the search process. And then outreach and development. I have suggested to Teresa, who's the chair, that she survey LSB members and say, hey, what are your skills? Who do you know? How do you think we should be raising money, building membership, reaching out to the community? And fully engage us in those tasks as our primary tasks. I also think the Committee of Inclusion continues. I hope you all convene. And I think that working with Anya might be a very good way to take advantage of the things we're trying to do at the national level to change communications, to change culture. So that's one last thing, and that is the treasurer positions no longer exist. However, the people who've been elected treasurer at all five stations are very valuable. And the National Finance Committee has invited each of the persons elected as treasurer to continue to participate in the committee. And fortunately, Lyndon, who is one of our most valued people, is, and so are the treasurers for three of the other stations. I think Mr. Chair PK has a question.
All right. Thank you. Ms. McCary? PK, you have a question?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure it's really a question, but it is, there's still discord, right? I mean, you know, you all don't, but there's still discord. And for the most part, out of all the times that we've talked about the bylaws, it's been New Day or by another name. I don't remember what an older name was, but the idea about bylaws was that in order to really change bylaws and to include the members of Pacifica, that there would be a bylaw conference, and that never happened. Am I correct in that? That there never was a bylaw conference? And is there a way to make sure that we're not the only ones voting and that, our constituents, so to speak, those that are members and growing that membership, because my big concern is what's happening in the United States right now about trying to get rid of media like Pacifica, NPR, etc. That we need some goodwill and a way to make people feel like they're being heard. So my question is there a way to have regular bylaw conferences that allow us to grow, kind of like the idea about the Constitution, you know, that we can create a Pacifica that speaks to a lot of different cultures and communities?
Do you want me to answer
Cousin,
that?
Would you like to?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that anybody answering it should raise their hand so that we're having a conversation. I don't know that I'm asking for one person to have all the answers. I'm kind of giving you
the first question you asked was there a conference?
Right.
Okay, first yes, was there a conference?
Was there a conference?
Okay. And I don't know. I was a member. I wasn't involved in crafting the New Day. I voted at the time. I knew of no conference at the time. There had been talks about reconvening a conference that was part of the settlement discussions that some people had. I think it would be great. And I think now is the time to have it.
Okay. Thank you. Adriana, you had your hand up.
Yes, but it's a different question for the, I don't know if anybody wants to keep talking about that issue. It's a different question.
Different okay. than the director's report?
No. It's to the directors. Yes. Please. Okay. Okay. I have a question because I heard that, and I don't see here a report from the executive director that normally the PMB give to us, but I heard that the executive director signed off on a plan to keep KPFT Richfield Translator Tower silent because the idea is transferring that, but that cannot be done without a membership vote. I want to know if our directors know anything about that.
So if I may say, first of all, no, a vote is not required. It's not a signal, and it is not a significant asset. Sandy, can you address the situation with the translators? A translator is not a signal. It is adjunct to a signal. Sandy, would you go ahead?
The word that we're looking for is repeater.
No, it's translator.
Repeater. So we have a main signal and a small low power repeater. Okay. So KPFT presently operates two repeaters. One is in Galveston, located in the Bryan Museum. And because of Stuart Nance's effort and connections, we are rent free. So the only cost we have on that is an internet box. Okay. About $60 a month. Pretty insignificant. However, so is the signal. Pretty significant. For those of you that have been to the island and tried to tune into 89.5, you realize that the limited range on that extends 30 blocks in any direction. We barely hit the strand. Okay. Also, the signal is derived from a rather low quality stream. So the sound quality, if you split back and forth when you can get 90.1, and 89.5 at the same time. And yeah, I've done that a few times. Not typically, 90.1 is by far a superior sounding signal. Now, we had a third translator in Goodrich Livingston that disappeared somewhere around 2016, 2017 from the airwaves and was the transmitter was in storage the whole time we were out of Lovett. So, to put things in perspective, that's been gone now for about 8 years. The FCC does not let you hold the license and not broadcast. You have a license to broadcast and an obligation to broadcast. So we didn't have a place for the thing. And these are, I should add that the signal in Huntsville is costing us $950 a month in round numbers. Okay. Then it's covered by restricted grant funds that you see in my report every month. So it's the same as Galveston, but that sits on a American tower and we pay rent. The third signal, the Goodrich Livingston, the abandoned one, the FCC, you got to turn that license in. So we turned it back in, and I believe that that frequency, that signal license has been purchased or is now being operated by KEOS in College Station. KEOS used to carry KPFT content back in the day. Now, I don't think they do it anymore. They got their own grid and their own programmers, but they now have that repeat.
Thanks, Sandy.
That's good. That's good, Rich Livingston. Okay. So we still have two of the original three. I'm not sure. We don't appear to be getting much in the way of support, direct support from those.
All right. Thanks, Sandy. Tori, you had a,
thank you.
You had a question?
Yeah. Shiva Hamanaka had a question, and it was about Spanish language programming. And much to my surprise and delight, I guess a couple of weeks now, in the mornings, I have heard a program in Spanish and English, Spanish with English translation, and it was about immigrants' rights. I don't know if it was something that was mandated by the national board, but if it was something that was the initiative of the station, you know, two thumbs up. And so that's useful, but, you know, we need to be, we can't cover all the bases. And I've spoken to a lot of people about this. There's, you know, between all the nonprofit stations and even the commercial Spanish language stations and all the other stations, you know, it's like there's a lot of communities in Houston that need to be served. And, you know, cultures are language based, you know, people that don't speak English probably aren't listening to KPFT. And so how do you serve them if they're not listening to KPFT? And, you know, there's other, nonprofit or institutional stations. And, I think the commercial stations are probably doing the best job right now of reaching the Spanish language community about immigration rights. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. And, you know, we can't do everything. You know, I wish KPFT had classical music and jazz and world music and all these other things and all kinds of other public affairs. But, you know,
I don't mean to cut you off. I appreciate what you're saying. We are in the middle of the director's report.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
If I might, the program we're excited
about. Sorry?
The program Tori referred to is Alerte Immigrante, and Lisi Cassini is hosting that. And there's a bilingual person on the telephone. So, yeah.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. Pardon my interruption.
Adriana, a point about the director's report? Adriana? Yes. Oh, you're...
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Part of the question, I understand what Sandy said, but that doesn't, what Susan said is not right. Doesn't matter what it is. You cannot get rid of what is an asset, even if it's a small one, without the vote of the membership and without the, even the LSV talking about this issue. But that is not... You know, basically my point is why we don't have a report like we had before from the executive director to the PMB. I mean, you know, and I didn't hear anything about the finances, and I listened to some of the other stations and to some of the finance meetings, and I have information that never came to us. And I want to know why.
There is always information in the general manager's report, but Susan, do you?
Yeah, I apologize. I should have gotten the ED report out earlier. I will. I'll send it out to everybody. There's financial information in that. Also, the National Finance Committee meets every 2 weeks. You can stream what's on the National Finance Committee. About other committees, the Audit Committee has a meeting set up. I think it's for May 22nd, and the Governance Committee is looking to set up a meeting time, and it will be looking at possible future amendments to the 2025 bylaws.
All right. Thank you, Susan. So that's our director's report. Do we have, are we good with the directors? We have three directors here, but you're giving the report. Anybody else need to chime in? Who's the director? If not, then we'll move on to the committee reports. We have Development and Outreach Committee. Teresa, would you like to hopefully give us a short and sweet development and outreach?
I just wanted you to know that I think that we carried out three very successful outreach events between now and our last meeting. One was Earth Day event on April 19th. And we met a lot of nice people. They were very happy with our conversations and with what KPFT had to offer, and a fair number of them signed up to receive our newsletters, our email newsletters, our announcements. We were at the Art Car presence, and again, met some very nice people. Blues Fun Day in the park was good. We didn't have as many as I would have liked, but the group was spread out over a couple hours. So we had some very meaningful conversations, and we had some people, we had about 25 surveys filled out, and had just, I think it was a very enjoyable time. I hope we do it again. The next, we have two things on our mind. One is we're starting to work on a fundraiser, and we have a couple of ideas, and we have some subcommittees that are going to work on them. And I think that we're going to try to have a meeting. Our next meeting will last an hour. And after the meeting, people can remain on the line to kind of discuss specific, programs or events. So that might be good. It's kind of like subcommittees after a meeting. Okay. The most important thing that I want to talk about is on June 28th, there's Pride, and I attended Pride with another group last year. I hope that this year we will have clipboards, that we will put people on our email lists, that we will assist queer voices in promoting their show, getting people to either follow them on Instagram or Facebook or follow their podcast. And so I encourage any board members, if you would like to do a little bit of outreach at the Pride event, to please contact me. I'll be in and out of town in June, but I will be at this event on June 28th. And I'm really looking forward to it because when I attended Pride last year, it was very high energy. And I think that the queer community and their friends is a community itself that's looking for leadership and looking for a way to communicate and get focused on their concerns. And we can help them. We have something really to offer this community and their many friends in the Houston metro area. So I hope we can make a difference in that program because Brian and his crew really would like our help. So that's where we're going.
Great. Thanks, Teresa. Appreciate that.
Could I throw something in?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Teresa, I apologize. I got back and I was sick from my trip and have had a hard time regrouping and I missed your meeting. But when you're referring to the fundraiser, that's where the board is going to plan a fundraising program for the next big fundraiser, I guess, which is going to be at the end of the summer or something like that.
We're not quite sure what we're going to do, and I encourage you to get with me offline outside of this meeting and discuss it.
Oh, okay, but I wanted to say
ideas. I mean, we've thrown out casino night. We've thrown out an idea of a scavenger hunt, some sort of party. If we could find someone to either speak or sing or perform, so we have lots of ideas, but we won't be talking about. We'll be discussing fine details in our development meeting. We need to have subcommittees to work on those projects.
Well, I would like to throw out, if it's appropriate, that we make sure and reach out to the people on our LSB to participate in this and get the best ideas, because we'll have to have it fully baked by mid-July or something. I don't know when the fundraiser is, but I do think that that's the direction that we're headed, and I'd sure like for us to have a successful one, and I, for one, will volunteer to be part of that group.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Thank you for development and outreach. How about governance committee? Mary Ann, do we have?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Now, the governance committee, as you all may remember, last month I dropped the ball and I didn't get it requested in time. So we had to wait until this month to have our meeting. So that meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May the 20th at 7 o'clock is our next governance committee meeting. And
7:30.
I'm sorry?
7:30.
Oh, 7:30. Okay. Thank you. And then, let's see. We'll be discussing at that time. We're still in the process of getting ourselves organized and as to what we're going to focus on. But, we'll definitely be talking as a group as to Susan's suggestion about reviewing the 2025 bylaws and making some recommendations. That sounds good to me, but we'll see what the rest of the committee feels. And then that's going to be on Tuesday, 7:30. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Marianne. That takes us to the Committee of Inclusion.
That's me again, I guess. So I'm the PNB member on the Committee of Inclusion. And then we also have three LSB representatives, Lillian Kerr, Adriana Casaneva, and PK McCarrick. And I'm not sure if it's proper protocol, but I went ahead and set up a meeting so we could, start, get the ball rolling here. And, we didn't have a meeting due to non-attendance. And, I had to throw the ball into the court of the other members of the committee to see when they would like to meet. So that is still in the works. So we do not have, as far as I know, any meeting scheduled yet. We're trying to.
Marianne, Adriana. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I was really, I have a bunch of family, myself, health issues, and I dropped the ball, but I will be in contact with you and the other members to see how we can get that one rolling. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Susan had mentioned about us working, and we can discuss that when we have our meeting, about working with Anya, because I really think she's awesome, and I think she would bring a lot to the table as far as giving us some ideas as to what we can do. I'd like to at least hear her out and see what she's got to say about where we can go with this. I'm looking forward to it. So as soon as we get that going, we will let the LSB know when our next meeting is.
All right. Great. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
I was just going to say, the thing with my aunt has taken a new turn while she and she does have a mass that they wanted to do a biopsy. And she said, yeah, you're trying to kill me early. And she's in her right mind, and her daughters, my cousins, are taking care of her. But that was a scary moment, so I apologize for the first time we tried to do a COI, because it's at the heart of what I have been working on, not just with Pacifica, but the work I do nationally and internationally.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry to hear about her. All right. Then, that takes us to, item 11 on our agenda. The Interim General Manager's report. Sandy, are you still there?
Let's do this. Let's,
thank you, sir. Let's
do that. Yeah. Thank you, Ron. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Sorry I didn't miss the first part of the meeting. A couple of the people on this call were doing two meetings at once. So we were doing our programmers meeting in preparation for the fund drives, which will start a week from tomorrow. And this wasn't your normal fund or programmer meeting in that we have even more threats that are being hurled at us with some of the things that we might do to cause our license not to be renewed. Also, license renewal and doging the FCC will be done by AI. And that means they'll be going over content that's in archived at high speeds. And we have issues at KPFT. We have issues and we're all over it. And we're going to be having meetings one-on-one with programmers. And my instruction is very clear from our folks that, our Pacifica National Compliance, et cetera, those that are responsible for FCC and license renewal, most people will lose their shows if it continues after they're warned. So if you see changes for that reason, it's an attempt to keep our license. This is no joke. I mean, the technology that exists and what we're doing don't line up really well in the favorable direction. That said, I sent my report around. I'm going to do a recap, and then I'll take questions. We're paying all our bills. The credit card balance is continually paid off at the end of the month. We're staying out of debt. For the second straight month, we saw Nielsen's hold steady, actually increase a little bit month over month, with yet another record since we returned from our hiatus, for lack of studio, in September 2022. So cumulative listening is picking up. Market share is holding steady. This is an indication that the station can come in and we're listening. Rhonda, can you mute, please? Thank you. Yeah, there's the echo. So that's a good sign. And this is a result of block programming changes that we made way back in the beginning of February. These numbers that I'm reciting to you are from April. May might come out in another month. Who knows? They're always way behind. All that data is looking in the rearview mirror. We've got three new interns signed up for the summer. Our intern Rocket is now abroad, as they say, studying, continuing her studies. So we're cycling interns through the organization and doing our part to help launch careers that way. And we have met really, really impressive people, young people that are going to go really far. And I hope they get something out of the experience with KPFT. Marlo keeps them jumping. April 22nd, Earth Day. I don't think Teresa mentioned that, as she did. I apologize, but thank you, Dr. Twardarski, host of Gulfstreams, for showing up. And for those of you that don't know, Rice University underwrites his show. So, hey. Fun drive, schmun drive. It's underwritten. Another way to fund. Just the same, he pitches and he gets donations. Also, thanks to Ronnie Renfro, Tom Richards for hosting the R&R cruise April 19th. We had a full boat and it was really a hoot. Real good time. So much so, we booked another boat ride September 6th. Pardon me, dead on the lake. That's going to be Matt Appel, Tom Richards, and myself. Maybe some trivia games, et cetera. So it's a good way to raise funds and a lot of fun for those that go. Thanks to Bill Crozier and Stuart, who's on the call with us tonight. Jerry Diaz for assisting with studio repairs. Our on-air light is glowing in the dark again, thanks to their efforts. Thank you. April 24th, I was out at a meeting of the West Houston Democrats and made a presentation about KPFT, First Amendment Radio, and the need for people to participate in supporting that state, that our station. If you know of other groups, rotary groups, you know, maybe a meeting of some, a lawyers group, bar association, exchange club, whatever it is, I'm willing to go out and talk to folks about that very subject and try to get more people involved. I think a speaker's bureau is being talked about. This could be a seed for such a thing. The more that we can do this, it's guerrilla marketing. I think there are about 50 or 60 people in the room, but I got to tell you, you walk out of there and you've made some friends. I asked the question, how many people in the room know of APFT? And more than half the people raised their hands, by the way. Thanks to Colby and Robin and Elise for helping with the website. Colby, if you're on the call tonight, we need your help again. So please get in touch with Robin if you can spare the time. Your work is fantastic. May the 4th be with you. Corey, thanks for organizing the event in the park. That was a lot of a pleasant afternoon. And we got a couple donations, so, you know, good. Little by little, poco a poco. We spent the better part of the last 4 weeks working really hard to plan this May-June fund drive, getting all the details right. We have become a bit of a production company, and we still have the same amount of people on staff, so we're working those efforts to make sure that we fund. We've got to fund to the extent of $170,000 or more on this drive. But good news, folks. Sustainer rollovers have already counted that, and since the drive window opened May 1st, we're nearly at $40,000, $300 under the $40,000 mark. And we'll get hit again first with a sustainer rollover. We're anticipating $10,000 to $12,000, and we're hoping that in the additional planning we've been doing, we'll get to that goal. We must get to that goal this time. We are not planning to do another fund drive this fiscal year, giving our listeners a long-awaited and deserved break, and also the volunteer programmer hosts. We added a paid producer to Amplified Houston. This is now 4 days a week, and this is a 30-minute program that caters to 501c3s. How can we be so audacious as to hire somebody as a producer? I'll tell you why. We have just added two more nonprofits to come in and write checks, $5,000 a year, twice a year. And I think we're up to four or five of those now, okay? So that program outfunds its goal by ratio more than anything we could possibly imagine. So to keep that going and get more of these people in there and keep these organizations featured on our airwaves every morning, we've added one person who has really good experience, comes to us from Houston Media Source and other places like that, where he knows when the red light goes on what has to happen. Our HD2 channel, just a note on programming, the whole Tom Hartman program is up there 4 days a week. It's not on Wednesday for a variety or for one or two reasons, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you can catch the full Tom Hartman show on HD2. We also started another program on HD2, Coffee House at KPFT, St. Andrew's Church in, the village has been doing a music series for a long time. The gentleman that's been putting that on has that program, and we now have access to St. Andrew's Church, and we're planning an event there as a fundraiser. So I'm sure that, that is going to be a good marriage. Coming up in the near term, this Sunday, Hank Lamb, Gumbo, has a benefit at Dan Electro's. There's a small cover benefiting KPFT. I plan to stop by to see how things are going at some point on Sunday night. It's from 6 to 11 p.m. And as many of you that can go out there and support Hank and support KPFT, I would applaud that. Hank's got a late-night program. Late night programs struggle to fund, and this is a good way to do it, doing a fundraiser. So hopefully he'll do really good. I'm rooting for him. May 29th, 1 to 6 p.m. adjacent to our building. It's a week from tomorrow with the Houston Bloodmobile, the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Bank Blood Center will be out with their mobile van asking you to roll up a sleeve and perhaps save a life. So consider that in your planning. The sign-up link, or there is a sign-up link on our website. We'll also be hitting social media with the same if it hasn't already happened. a week from tomorrow, we start our fund drive. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the blood drive. Again, $170,000 goal. I asked the board members to chip in something because if the board participates and we're writing grants, you know, we can point to the fact that our board 100% in one way or another supports KPFT financially. It's a powerful statement when you're applying for a grant. May 25th, Memorial Day Sunday coming up from Kerrville with Peter Rowan. Tom Tranchilla will be out broadcasting live with Howard Reynolds, and they're excited about that, and we're excited about that. That's going to be a four-hour special broadcast on Sunday, Memorial Day Sunday, so tune in for that. August 9th, we're going to have something called the KPFT Soiree, and this is either going to be a $5 a month sustainer or a pair for $10 a month, or maybe just $55 a ticket. We don't have it sorted out yet. It was going to be $55, but we just got hit with the news yesterday that our $50 match is back for all new sustainers. So sure would be nice to encourage people to put $5 a month down, $60, and get matched with a $50 bill. That's a great way to make the goal. Easy way to make the goal. So August 9th. The KPFT Soiree, Grant Peoples and Tom Hartman here in Houston. It's going to be at a church at Bering and Westheimer. Details to follow. The room holds, I think, 400 people. Let's fill it up. Tom Hartman here in Houston, along with Grant Peoples performing. And I don't know what else other circus acts we're going to have for that event, but we're looking at all kinds of entertainment in between, in and around, and making it a fun event for all. And again, September 6th, Dead on the Lake, another fundraiser offered this fund drive. When we're on the air pitching and looking at FCC violation, when we have an internal event that we pay for the vote, we're pretty much out of trouble. We can pretty much do what we need to do without grandifying the vendor. So it's, again, a good way to fundraise and stay out of trouble. For Robin's report, you saw a decrease in membership and a decrease in sustaining money. And there's an explanation for that. We're in the month of May. So people that pledged last May, we don't get a draw from them until June. They come right back on the books if they have not canceled. So you have a lot of pending money coming in, as Robin puts it to me. And we fully expect those numbers to bubble back up and even be exceeded by the end of the drive. And, you can place a bet now if you'd like on that. That's it happens every cycle, May, October, et cetera, on these major fund drives. In my report, I included Facebook demographic data. Many of you talk about who's listening and what they're doing, et cetera. This isn't listenership. No, it's Facebook. Okay. But people are looking at us on Facebook because they listen, is my theory. And so the demographic data should in some way largely echo what's going out there in the real world with our listenership. And I found it rather intriguing that people in their 40s and 50s are mostly listening, you know, or on Facebook anyway, but we have a wide range of age, and also the places where these people lived were enumerated on that graphic. So there's lots of tasty morsels in there for those of you who like that kind of data. I presented that to programmers this evening to let them know where their listeners were coming from. And that was just one of the things that we presented this evening. Listenership, again, our cum bubbled up to 122,200, yet another post-return record to our, return to a studio. That's a slight increase over April. And the first time we've seen back-to-back, the number's gone up over 100,000 and stayed there back to back. So good. In the bank, the report from Markeisha is we have $197,973. Don't forget the 74 cents, of which $19,117.61 is restricted and to be used for paying on that tower bill up in Huntsville and for the internet service up there too. Sustainer income, and again, we expect this to bubble back up to 25,000 or more, is 23,952 from 1,370 donors with pledges pending, not processed. The deal is here, Robin gives me this report at the first of the month, and we draw sustaining money 3 times a month. So if you're not in the first wave, you don't get reported. You could be in the second or third wave yet this month. And that's where that difference comes from. Next fund drive, week from Thursday. I'll take your questions. I'm hoping that we survive yet another cycle.
Rob, you're right.
Rob, you got your hand up there. Go ahead.
You're also muted.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah, it's all sign language.
Yeah, on the R&R cruise, what is the gross and the net approximately, or if you don't have it yet, what would it have been approximately on the last cruise?
They were almost identical in terms of the money that was captured by APFT. Robin has that down here in her list, and I will find that for you. We made a little over $12,000 is the number.
Okay.
So that's what our cost on that, to be clear, we cater the cruise with a drink and food, and we also have to rent the boat. And the total budget's somewhere right around $3,000. It's real close to that. So our gross was somewhere around 15 something, Rob. Okay. That's the thumbnail on it. Okay.
No, that's perfect. And what we don't calculate there is I'm a big person that likes to talk about community. I think when people leave those type of events, the community spirit is raised dramatically. You don't have to answer this, but I asked it earlier. I'd just be real curious between like pre-COVID and then when we went dormant, just the number of fundraisers and activities that we've had. And that might be something that we could talk about online or you could report back on the next month. But, I think that would be interesting for the board to learn about. My perception is that there's more activity in this area than there was in the past, but I'd like to be able to back that
quite
up.
A bit.
Yeah. But if you could just comment on that later.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else with questions, comments? Adriana?
This question has nothing to do with that. I don't remember. At what time do we have scheduled the executive session? Because it's already...
Well, we're trying to get there. Okay. Yeah. So if we can... Thank you. We can move along. If nobody else has any other questions for Sandy, it's always a thorough report. I appreciate that. If you can get all the way through that, you pretty much know what's going on in the plan.
A physics professor once told me it's light reading for a Sunday afternoon.
There you go. So item 12 then would be unfinished business. I don't believe that we have any unfinished business. Best to my knowledge. Unless somebody has some. Other than that, we'll move on to new business item 13. Is there any new business item 13?
Mr. Chair, wasn't there something that was brought up earlier? And I think it was Robert Gardner, and you told him to bring it up.
Yes, that's true.
That's why
Robert.
I have my hand up. Yeah.
Well, let's, if Robert has a question, you can go ahead and ask it.
Yeah, I was thinking about, what I said, and then we used so much time to take a vote last month on extending a public session, and some of the energy of that for me was, I think, some anxiety right at 8 o'clock. Tonight I noticed that I want to say, I can't speak to the way you handled that last month, but generally maybe there needs to be some, it'd be nice to have the screen show on their phone numbers or whatever those, so you can just count and not guess or not, be faced with something. I was concerned that there were people that weren't going to talk right at the end of the session last month. So, the request for 5 minutes was voted down, but really it's a, It's just a structural thing, and you as the chair happen to be doing that effectively, I think. But I don't know. Maybe there could be some additional structure applied in consideration of, you know, how many people we have. And I don't think it's ever been the case, but it could be that we would have, you know, bunches of people wanting to talk, and then the session would end.
That's a very good point, and I will note that I have at times been called, which is a little sharp, but we try to get everybody in there, but try to move the meeting along at the same time. And yeah, so one of the things that you know that really to work on from my perspective is if we've got something very exciting and a lot of people want to have their input, how do we get people in line effectively? I think that's a big question. And then reporting out of votes, that's an interesting question as well.
Yeah, well, to me that was a waste of time because I probably just didn't structure my concerns and anxiety a little better. So, but overall, those points I made just now, you know, I don't know that it should just be left up to the chair, you know, for that thought to come to his mind that we're approaching 8 o'clock and maybe there's a lot of people, and then they would just feel cut off, for example. You know what I mean? Yeah, so that's all I have to say about that. Thanks.
Robert. Okay. That would be old business.
So now news.
Sorry. So new business? Anyone with new business? Going. Not hearing any. Move on to the next item. That would be confirming the next LSB meeting. The next meeting is June 11th, 2025, 7 o'clock. It'll be fun. yes, Ms. Young.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that, to explain that when we adjourn out of open session, we go off of this Zoom link, and then only those go on there. That which is applied to the LSB members only, it's not on the, it's not on KPFDX, is a link for executive session, and it's a separate Zoom. So we have to go off of this Zoom and go onto a separate Zoom. And the people who should go onto the separate Zoom are those who have either have or willing to sign NDAs and respect the confidentiality. And Sandy, you are a candidate, so you will not be invited to this meeting. Thank you.
No, so, anyway. Thank you.
I guess I'm offering a motion to adjourn from the open session.
Actually,
a
question before we hang up, I agree. But where do we have the information to go to the executive session soon? We hang up and go again? How that is?
You hang up and go again, and Adriana, you should already have it.
The email?
The no replies, no, if you go to the bottom of it.
Sorry?
The emails that come out from no reply at KPFTX, if you go to the very bottom of them, there's a little section that says exec Zoom meeting, join the Zoom meeting. So if you look at the very bottom of that, there should have been one like yesterday and about a week ago.
Perfect.
Take a look there and you should find it and you should.
Okay. Thank you.
Susan, I don't get that. Would you forward that to me?
Yes, I will.
This is Rhonda Garner. I need it forwarded to me too.
I will send it to you.
Is this going to be in my email? Is it in my Rhonda Garner mail or my Rhonda Garner LSB mail? Never mind.
That one I do not know. If there one or the other should be getting something from noreply@kpftx.org, and it says your meeting is coming up. Don't forget. And yeah, should have been one yesterday and one about a week ago.
Okay.
Take a look there. If not, text and we'll send something. Certainly. All right.
And so, Madam Chair, have we completed that we have approved adjourning from the open session?
Yeah. So now we go off stream at this point. Is that correct?
I'm asking, is there any objection to our?
I don't have an objection.
I seconded it.
I would like to know, and it was seconded already. Yeah. I do want to say though that to make sure we get that right. So.
Right, and so we go off of this stream.